Welcome to Radio Oldie, brought to you by Bailey Gifford. This is a recording from the monthly Oldie Literary Lunch at the National Liberal Club. To book a ticket, please go to www.theoldie.co.uk/lunches. Our next speaker is an old friend of the Oldie Lunch, Sinclair Mackay, talked very movingly, many of you will remember, about Dresden, The Fire and the Darkness. He wrote several prize-winning books about Bletchley Park, and his latest book is St. Petersburg, Sacrifice and Redemption in the City That Defied Hitler. Ladies and gentlemen, Sinclair Mackay.
Thank you very much, Harry, for that very kind introduction. Thank you very much for asking me back. And like Anne and her brilliantly moving talk just there, I'll be talking about St. Petersburg, Leningrad, but like Anne, we're not here to dwell on horror. Rather the reverse impact. And the story of St. Petersburg is as much a story about poetry and literacy and art, as well as the endurance of the human spirit. St. Petersburg, fundamentally, is a city of dreamers. This exquisite architectural jewel at the head of the Baltic, palaces of turquoise, peach, and gold. In the season of white nights, as we are at the moment, where the borders between day and night disappear completely, and young promenaders walking along the banks of the Navarre greet each other with ghostly smiles. It might seem curious at this particular point in world history to even think lyrically about a Russian city, given the nightmare that Putin, Petersburg's most infamous son, has been inflicting upon so many people across Ukraine. But a point I'd like to make instantly is that Vladimir Putin, born in St. Petersburg in 1952, is actually the antithesis of everything that St. Petersburg has stood for throughout the centuries. St. Petersburg is about creativity. He is empty. He is a postmodernist shell. He is. Well, we'll get on to it a bit later. St. Petersburg is a city of dreamers that emerged from the dream of a world-spanning emperor, Tsar Peter the Great, who, not long after lodging down in Deptford in Sir John Evelyn's house, turned to Russia and decreed that St. Petersburg be manifested on the Karelian Isthmus up there in the frozen north. He who with a will unbounded a city on the marshes founded, as Petersburg poet Alexander Pushkin wrote. This extraordinary vision of stone built partly on the backs of slave labour, but then developed and evolving throughout the years and the centuries. This was a city that instantly became a magnet for musicians, poets, the greatest writers. Dostoevsky, Fyodor Dostoevsky, writing in 1850 his novella, White Nights, described the city as being an endless swarm of dreams. It's almost as if he could see the dreams moving through the streets. Nikolai Gogol, originally from Ukraine, came to St. Petersburg, became one of the St. Petersburg's great writers. "Do not trust that Nevsky prospect," he wrote. "All is thunder and glitter." Dostoevsky also brought us the character of Raskolnikov of Crime and Punishment in 1866. This was, again, a vision somehow of a city dreaming, but this time it was a fever dream. In the novel Crime and Punishment, the student Raskolnikov becomes an axe murderer. He does in an elderly moneylender. An act of astonishing nihilistic violence that seems somehow to be echoed in the fever dream streets of St. Petersburg all around him, this humid, drunken, violent city, but a city still teeming on those pages with the most extraordinary creative vitality. This creative vitality also lent itself to dreams of idealism, but idealism that in turn led to violence and bloodshed. In 1881, Tsar Alexander II became the victim of the world's first suicide bomber. He was assassinated by a group called Narodnaya Volya, the People's Will, a group of students who themselves were steeped in dreams of freedom. They dreamt that they could free Russia from the Tsarist vampiric oppression and set the peasants free. This, in turn, kindled new flames of revolutionary fervour in St. Petersburg. And it was in St. Petersburg that the young Vladimir Lenin moved through the mighty citadels of industry in the south of the city, distributing leaflets, distributing dreams to the workers, dreams that man may rise above, not only above the Tsars, but above the old god, that the old god himself could be toppled from his throne. 1917, St. Petersburg erupted in revolution, and this was a dream that echoed right the way around the world. Even then, there were some elements, defiantly surrealistic, dreamlike elements in that revolution. The storming of the Winter Palace, November 1917, it was said that they'd broken into the cellars and discovered enormous quantities of vintage wine, that the streets of Petersburg flowed with vintage shattered care, a dreamlike image in its own right. From this point onwards, the dream descended, the dream was now Bolshevism, the dream turned to nightmare under Stalinism. It was also St. Petersburg, now Leningrad, where the horror of Stalin's purges began. A nightmare descending upon the entire country and upon countless millions of people. But even then, throughout all of this, throughout the terrors that Stalin brought, and then through the terrors that the Nazis brought, when they encircled the city completely in the most lethal siege ever known in human history. From the ancient wars of Carthage onwards, nothing like it had ever been seen since then or since the siege of Leningrad, 3 solid years of starvation and horror. But still, the people dreamed of that. Still, there was art. Still, there was music. The poets of the city, Anna Akhmatova, one of the greatest poets of the 20th century, herself persecuted by the Stalinist regime, she had been a sleepwalker in her youth. She said that she knew St. Petersburg through her dreams. She could move through the city in her dreams. And it was the poets of the city who were gathered together by the authorities in order to compose fresh poetry to see the people through the siege. People were starving, absolutely telegraphed, a million people on the edge of death and then crossing that border over into death. But poetry was being read out on the loudspeakers all the way through the city, because it was only in St. Petersburg where it was understood that poetry had the power to shape human reality. I'll just finally mention on that particular subject the power of music too, the power of music to invoke the dream of freedom and ultimately of life. Dmitri Shostakovich, the great Russian composer, St. Petersburger, had been evacuated as the siege broke out, but he had started composing his 7th symphony, the Leningrad Symphony. In 1942, as the supply lines were gradually opened again, they managed to get people out of the city. An extraordinary artistic coup. Leningrad Philharmonic performing in 1942 as the siege was still going on. The premiere of Shostakovich's 7th Symphony, the Leningrad Symphony. It was broadcast not only to the people of Leningrad, not only across Russia, but via radio across Europe and across to the wider world, and including to Nazi Germany. This was a city that had been reduced to bestial squalor, a city where hundreds of thousands of people had died, and yet still it had the power to dream and the power to use art to raise the human heart. And hopefully, one day soon, when the world, re-establishes some kind of order again, and we're able to go there once more, it would be fantastic to be able to walk the streets once more of a city which is still proud of its literary traditions and still so proud of its own dreams. Thank you.
You have been listening to Radio Aldie, brought to you by Bailey Gifford. Why not get 3 trial issues of the Aldie magazine for just £1? Sure you'll enjoy it. We'll then charge you £25.75 for every 6 issues. Just go to checkout.theoldie.co.uk/offers and enter old trial as one word in capitals. That's checkout.theoldie.co.uk/offers and enter old trial.